This is Making Shift Happen, and I'm your host, Jen Cates. Over the years, I've coached hundreds of clients to find their ideal self through the way they nourish their bodies and minds, and now I'm here to help pass on these same strategies to you. So let's stop the madness and get your results once and for all. Let's go. Hello, fam. Tis the season to talk about how the heck to combine strength training with biking, because I know it can be a struggle. I know it can be a struggle to maintain your strength while biking season comes into full force, but I totally get it. All right. I mean, this is something I deal with every year. And a common thing that I hear often this time of year, especially as biking miles start to ramp up, it's that, you know, quote unquote, my legs are sore, so I should just stop strength training now altogether. And I love that. I love that for you in terms of like you being aware of your body and just what you might need. However, the problem with doing that is that it leads to losing a great deal of strength, you know, but also you lose the positive feeling of strength training that you benefit from during the quote unquote off season or bridge season. And it also makes getting back into strength that much harder when biking season more or less ends. You know, it can honestly hurt. And I actually tested this theory a couple of years ago. I opted to just like really massively reduce my strength training during biking season and completely change some things. You know, I did kind of maintain some stuff, but I like was not lifting heavy at all. Just to see how it feels. And keep in mind, I've been training for over 30 years. You know, I've been weight training for over 30 years with like a short stints of breaks in between there, you know, like for like maybe a few months to a year or something. It hurt. Like when I came back and started to lift heavy, like, dude, that like blew my legs up. Like I was sore for 2 to 3 days after some of my strength training sessions. It just was not enjoyable. It felt like I was starting again from the beginning, from scratch. And it was honestly surprising to me because I kind of was thinking, well, because I had been training for so long, such a huge part of my life, I didn't really think that I was going to be that impacted. I was wrong. Like I completely disproved my hypothesis. So it blew my mind. But what I want to talk about today when it comes to struggling to maintain your strength training while biking is I do want to talk about volume, all right? Because another thing that I see often with concurrent or hybrid athletes who strength train and bike at the same time is that they decide to reduce the weight even more when they lift. Lightweight, right? Ain't nothing but a peanut. Lightweight. Sorry, you would understand it if you maybe watched the YouTube video. And I get it. I totally get it. Yes, by reducing the weight that you're lifting, that will indirectly drop the volume that you're experiencing during your strength training session. But I will say it's been shown that the better approach is to reduce your sets or reps instead of weight per se, all right? Because super, super high volume that you're not adapted to yet or can recover really well from, that makes you like cranky, makes you sore, makes you tired, makes you all those things that make you want to avoid strength training to begin with, you know? And just because I know sometimes volume can be kind of an elusive term, right? I do want to talk about volume real quick. So just in case you need it to know, volume is what equals like sets, that the sets, number of sets that you're completing of a movement, the number times the number of reps times the weight. All right, so that's why things can add up. And if you look at that, all right, sets times reps times weight, you can massively change that number just by switching the sets and reps. All right, so let me give you an example. All right, instead of doing, like 3 sets of 15 reps of a single leg deadlift, right, one of my favorites, at say you're doing these 3 by 15 reps, at a weight that gives you like an RPE of 5 to 6 usually, all right? So 3 by 15 at about RPE of 5 to 6. Instead of doing that, try instead doing 2 sets instead of 3 sets and try doing 8 reps instead of 15 reps, all right? You're, in essence, reducing the volume by reducing the set by 1 and the reps pretty much almost in half. But instead, because you're going less sets, less reps, you're going to increase your RPE to about maybe 7 to 8, all right? Or for those of you who do my Shred Strong program, you know, this is basically when you feel like you have like 2 to 3, like 1 to 3 maybe reps left in the tank, all right? Or RIR, reps in reserve. I did an episode on that, so check it out. I'll try to link it in the show notes if I remember. But again, you're trying to get to a weight where you feel like you have like 2 to 3 reps left in your tank. So you're not just like hammering out these like endless reps, you know? Instead, you're feeling the force being placed on your body, all right? You're feeling your body need to move this weight, all right? And the intentionality behind it is so fantastic. Another thing that I see is that, you know, many bikers will underload or lift too light in their accessory lifts. I see this all the time. And it might be unintentional, you know, I'm guessing. And I totally get that. I respect that. But you're not really getting what you need out of the training stimulus when you do this, you know? So for example, if you like love and set up camp in the 5 to 6 RPE range all of the freaking time, you will get mediocre results at best that are consistent, sure, but they don't increase much over time. You're going to see slower progress is what I'm trying to say. So aiming for closer to 7-8 RPE or around, you know, really 2 to 3 RIR, but even like down to 1 RIR, rep in reserve, will give you a greater set of results over the long run and even the short run. Quite honestly, like you're just going to see a much different stimulus here. All right. Now, what I'm trying to get to here is I'm trying to encourage people to just lift a little bit heavier if they can handle it. You know, if you're able to handle it and things feel really good and all systems are go and form is good, try lifting a little bit heavier and then a little less reps. You're not going to lose anything. If anything, you're going to gain from it. Because then what happens is you're increasing the weight a little bit, doing less reps, so you're still tempering the volume, which is chef's kiss, right? But then you're seeing more progress because then you're going to be lifting this heavier weight at lower reps, but then guess what? Then you get to build off of that heavier weight and lower reps. So then the weeks to come in your program, you can increase the number of reps over time that you're then, you know, lifting. Then what happens? I guess you can probably figure. Then you get to a point where you have to lift the weight again. Like you have to increase the weight again. All right. The only exercise this probably does not apply to are lateral raises, like arm raises. I'm just kidding. And I'm only saying that because, oh my God, it's like, it's taken me a while to like get to freaking 20 pounds on lateral arm raises. And I mean, it's because it's, you know, you're focusing on your deltoid for crying out loud. And even lately I've had to like reduce it back down to 15 pounds for lateral shoulder raises just because, you know, it's a weird neck thing that I have going on. Not any of my own. I just shouldn't have gotten into so many car accidents, I guess. But all that to say that if you're living in a comfort zone in your strength training sessions, you need to not be scared to break out of that, increase the weight, reduce the reps a little bit, maybe even reduce the set, and then go from there, all right? Build from there. Don't be scared to lift a little bit heavier because it can be really beneficial. And what's cool is your body will adapt to that stress because this is the thing. Strength training is a stressor that you're applying to your body. And it's a good stressor. It's a positive stressor. However, it is a stressor nonetheless. And all that to say that you have to apply stress to your body. And in order for you to keep growing and progressing, the stress has to be constantly present, right? When the stress isn't present, great, you're going to hit maintenance and you're just going to maintain. And that's what is happening if you're always at 5 to 6 RPE for the rest of your life and you're not really pushing it, all right? Okay, there you go. Now, another thing that I see is bikers also seem to think that you need higher reps when you lift for muscular endurance year round, right? Because that's what we do on the bike. You know, we're pedaling constantly. But that's the thing is even my long distance runners, like the ultra runners, ultra trainers, ultra marathon trainers. Good God, I should not record my podcast early in the morning. So even my athletes who are ultra marathon runners, you know, I mean, mad distance, or my athletes who are doing marathon cross-country mountain bike rides, right? Not to mention gravel, my gravel cyclists, because that goes without saying, because they're putting in the miles, you know, unbound, 200 miles, blah, blah, blah. The nature of your sport is already high rep. It's already high cadence. It's already muscular endurance. So then you're thinking in your head, great, I need to mimic that year round. Absolutely not. That is a quick ticket to burnout. Quick ticket to overtraining. Quick ticket to just being miserable in your freaking training. And that's the last thing I want for my people. I want them to enjoy their training, right? But I'm here to say that there is a time and a place for higher rep muscular endurance movements for the seasonality of the sport, all right? In fact, doing more heavy and moderate to low rep ranges can be of greater benefit to you without gassing your legs or body with the high reps in the gym, followed by the high reps that you see out on the dirt when you're pedaling year round. You know, it's just too much. So, you know what I love to do instead? Besides, you know, progressive overload and, you know, seasonality of the programming, what I love to do is I love a heavy load it, 2 to 3 sets of like 5 to 8 reps at a challenging 8 to 10 RPE, right? Effort. Or, you know, equate that to like 2 to 3 reps in reserve, right? I love doing that for many of my accessory movements during phases of training when I am balancing biking with strength during peak bike season, all right? I'm just going to throw out some stuff here. Things like my favorite accessories, things like weighted step-ups. Oh my God, I love weighted step-ups. You can vary them so many different ways. Like even the angle in which you're stepping up, and that can change what muscles you're moving and working, and love them. Same thing with lunges. Freaking hate lunges. Oh my God. Like, especially rear foot elevated lunges, they can go F themselves, right? But I love them in terms of the effectiveness and how functional they can be. I use the F word. God damn it. How proper, how appropriate they are for our sport. I don't hate the word functional, but I feel like sometimes it can be a little overused. With weighted step ups, I talked about all the varieties of lunges. Single leg deadlifts. Love them. Love them so much. Goblet squats, box squats, a lot of banded stuff that I'll do, like especially like knee terminal stuff, you know, just keep my knees healthy. Shoulder routines, because let's be honest, like shoulders are injured so frequently in mountain biking, especially just because of the nature of the terrain. And we stick our arm out when we fall. Like it's just a natural response. And you know, whether you break your clavicle or not, that's to be seen. But I do try to like emphasize just shoulder strength and arm strength in general. Not to mention even when you're not crashing and you're on the bike, all right, and you're in this position where you're bent over, you're hinged at the hips, you know, you're basically in a deadlift position, a modified deadlift position, but you're using your arms to pump the bike. You know, you're using your arms to navigate the terrain. You're using your arms and upper body and core to get over technical features. And arm strength is incredibly important, but that's a perfect example of some accessory movement that I do include in the programming. And yeah, it's a little bit bodybuilding-esque. I do try to make it a little bit more functional. I'm just going to go ahead and say the word, but they're necessary, you know? And so these are examples of all the accessories that I love, you know, and it's not even an exhaustive list. Those are just the things that are coming to my mind. And this is not even including my core routine, like core work. I love core work. But, you know, I'll do those favorite accessories that I talked about, you know, weighted step ups, lunges, blah, blah, blah. And while spending other times in the program between about 10 to 15 reps, especially before bike season kicks off, so you can build your muscular endurance off the bike before the season hits. So like even right now, season's getting ready to hit for a lot of us and has hit for a lot of my folks who are like in Arizona and California. I mean, your season's basically all year round. But the thing is you want to have your season ebb and flow, all right? Because again, like I said earlier, if you're doing the same thing, same reps, same everything, you're, oh my God, all the time throughout the year, which I do see in other programs, it's just too much. It's too much volume. You have to give yourself a little bit of a break. And even if you're doing that, even with deload weeks, it's just not enough. Like you're going to have so much more benefit if, like I said, you do 2 to 3 sets of 5 to 8 reps at like an 8 to 10 effort, 8 out of 10 effort. So like 8 RPE, right? Or, you know, aim for about 2 to 3 RIR. So 2 to 3 reps in reserve. Like that is, you know, chef's kiss, love it. Try to do that. And then before biking season ramps up, that's when you can do a little bit, like I'd say like 4 to 8 weeks of a little bit higher rep, you know, 10, 15 reps for certain movements, especially these accessory movements. And I know, you know, I know you don't want to hear it, but there you go. All right. Don't high rep yourself throughout the year, all year, because that's just so not great. All right. Now, the other thing that I know you don't want to hear is that the biggest part in balancing your lifting or strength training and biking is to lift and bike. All right. Really, you know, by giving up strength training entirely when biking season hits, this is a surefire way to lose strength. And this just makes it that much harder to get back into the swing of things come the bridge or off season when biking wraps up, like I said earlier, all right? Now, of course, I do want to expand upon this concept, because that's not to say that there may be times that this happens by the way of intentional planning throughout your year, all right? And what I mean by this is, you know, long bike rides or events that you, or races even, that you have planned and that you're planning for, and that do require, you know, a taper week or two along with deloads on the programming to prevent burnout and overtraining, like I mentioned earlier. So those things happen, all right? But what this means is that you just don't try to go above and beyond your programming, all right? Instead, aim to keep lifting in, you know, aim to keep your strength training in your programming, even if it's just a little bit during the week. And there's no need to give up your strength training sessions completely. And there's also no reason to give 100% to your strength trainings all the time. Instead, you know, on weeks that you're maybe biking a lot, have that be a week where you're aiming for 60 to 80% effort in your strength training sessions. You're not going to lose anything. If anything, you're maintaining your strength and you're making it less miserable come fall and winter when you're biking less and maybe lifting more, all right? Friends, we have to think of this in the long game, in terms of the long game. And all too often, what happens is the response when it comes to balancing strength training and riding is it's playing in the short game mindset. And I'm trying to like carve a path for everyone to get out of their fixed mindset and get into some growth mindset here and really start to explore the idea of balancing strength training with their riding. So again, you don't have to give 100, 120, 150% every week when it comes to your strength training. If it's a high mile week, great. Have something like I said, 60 to 80% effort, you know, when it comes to your strength training, especially if you're a menstruating individual and want to take it easy during your luteal phase, which is usually the phase of the period that causes the most exhaustion for a majority of people, all right? Now, there's going to be more info on that in another episode. In fact, I'm planning on it for next week, so stay tuned. But we're also not looking for 5 times a week of strength training, all right? We're not trying to overdo it and then trying to ride 6 days a week. Like, that's just a quick recipe to not feeling great. You're not a professional athlete, friend. I mean, and if you are, that's awesome. Then this maybe doesn't apply to you. If you're not getting paid full-time to race, then you have to change your mindset around this, okay? Instead of 5 times a week of strength training, try to do like 1 to 2 strength sessions a week during your peak bike season. You know, this change alone will be a huge benefit to help maintain your strength and muscle while you're biking all season, all right? And also, I just want to add this. If you race, don't pick a dozen A races, for crying out loud. Please, please don't do that. Pick maybe one or two, you know, maybe three, but really one or two. Especially if you're not a pro athlete, all right? Like, don't do that to yourself. Why are you setting yourself up for that? That is a quick recipe to just burning out and not feeling great, all right? Pick some A races that are like, yeah, those are my definites. Those are the things that I'm going to train full on for. And then have some B races, okay? And now, I do want to add, final note, is that these comments, these suggestions here, are not the only way to combine and balance strength training and biking in your season. There are countless other things to help, you know, for example, focusing on recovering as optimally as you're able to, eating enough food, for crying out loud, you know, you've got to fuel that engine and things like that. But this is where you have to start, especially when you're looking at the lens of just strength training, all right? That's how you do it, friend. That's all I have for you today. Thank you so much for joining. I really appreciate every single one of you. If you haven't yet, please subscribe to this episode, share it on social media, and tag me at Shift Human Performance. I would love to have you, share this information with as many people as you can, because that's how I grow. That's how I get to more people and help keep them just trucking along on their bikes. I want you all to feel good and strong on and off the bike. That is my goal. All right, so Milo here and I are signing off, and I will catch you next week. I am planning on releasing my episode on menstruation. So this is hopefully going to help folks who are menstruating individuals manage their training period and just the periodization of their training. Oh my gosh, no pun intended. I did not even intend that. Anyways, I'm going to shut up now and I'm going to sign off, and I will catch you next week. I hope you have a beautiful day. Bye.